It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the UN, over 1 billion people in the world live in substandard housing. Engineers, architects, and construction experts from around the world convened at the University of Pittsburgh for a symposium where they discussed what many feel is an unusual building material, bamboo. We're joined now in studio by Pitt Associate Professor of Structural Engineering and Mechanics, Kent Harries. He's a co-organizer of the Bamboo Symposium and helped create what's being called the Pittsburgh Declaration. Kent Harries, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
We usually think of bamboo as a treat for pandas or decoration in a garden. Why should we think of it as a construction material?
Well, it's arguably one of the most sustainable construction materials on the face of the planet right now. It's fast growing. It uses very little natural resources in terms of fertilizer and whatnot. Very accessible, very locally available to literally billions of people in need of housing and in need of construction materials.
Is it resilient?
Depending how you define resilient, I would argue yes, because when you build with bamboo, it's easily repaired, it's easily replaced. We're talking about the type of structures and type of construction very often that are not built necessarily by going out and getting a construction company, but rather you get together with your cousins and your uncles and you build a portion of your home. And so you're also going to maintain it and continue building like that, putting on additions and whatnot. And so it is actually a very resilient material, I think, in that way. And indeed, I first got into it looking at the hazard mitigation aspects of it, and particularly its exceptional behavior under seismic or under earthquake loads.
And yet, in Pittsburgh, houses are generally made out of brick, and they're sturdy, and not that bamboo isn't sturdy, but this may not be a material that would be ideal for a city like this. So how did this symposium end up coming to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question we're not suggesting bamboo as a North American or a European or Western option necessarily. We're focusing on the developing world and the tropical world between the tropics. But we received, I've been working on bamboo for over a decade, and a colleague of mine at the University of Coventry in the UK received a fairly substantial grant jointly from the US State Department and the UK Council, intended solely to bring experts together. It's called a GII Award, a Global Innovation Initiative, and to bring experts in this field together. And we've been, this meeting is just a small portion of that particular work. We've been sending our students abroad, Indonesia, China, India, the UK and the US, of course. And this particular meeting, we brought, I believe it was about 40 people together from 16 different countries. All experts in the field of bamboo construction.
And out of that symposium came the Pittsburgh Declaration. What does it set out to do?
The Pittsburgh Declaration is really a tool trying to bring the profession together, the engineering, architecture, even construction profession together, to really focus on international standard development for bamboo, test standards, test methods, and then ultimately building code methods and building code standards for bamboo construction. It's also a tool that we can take to our respective governments. There were about 40 attendees from 16 different countries, and that we can say, look, we've got this large group of respected experts who support this, and we're already using this. We have meetings planned in September that have come out of the Pittsburgh Declaration already. So,
and what kind of work have you done with bamboo?
I focus primarily on test standards and test methods. I'm more of a material scientist and a structural engineer. And literally, I help to develop the tests that tell you how strong it is, how well it's going to support a particular load, how durable it might be under certain conditions and whatnot. And that's really been my focus. We have a lot of architects and engineers then that also then look at the different structural forms that are appropriate for a material that is a little bit like timber, but not really.
So what kind of conditions are you talking about? Winds, floods, that kind of thing?
Everything. Carrying its own load, for instance, just the self-weight, the weight of the building, the weight of the people in it, wind loads. I've always focused on natural hazards, so hurricanes, earthquakes, and also durability-type loads. So humidity, temperature, obviously, when we're talking about bamboo construction, we're very often talking about extremes in that sense.
And who's doing this already?
there are a reasonable number of countries around the world, probably the most advanced countries in terms of bamboo research and bamboo construction today. That would be Colombia. Peru is very advanced and actually has their own code as well associated with it. China, India. There's a lot of interest amongst a lot of the sub-Saharan countries. Only Ethiopia is really becoming relatively advanced in terms of building code applications at the moment.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Kent Harries. He's a Pitt Associate Professor of Structural Engineering and Mechanics. And we're talking about the Pittsburgh Declaration and the idea that building with bamboo can solve a lot of the world's housing problems. Walk us through what this would look like for communities with substandard housing.
Well, it's an opportunity. We're looking at resilient housing in particular. A lot of communities in the world today, and this is how I got into it too, we were looking at earthquake mitigation and seismic hazard. And we were looking around, and of course in this particular area was in Northeast India in the Darjeeling region, and concrete construction is very, very common. Generally, the quality was poor. And in the event of an earthquake, and there had been a couple of earthquakes recently, and of course we saw this very, very clearly in Nepal last year, concrete, especially poorly constructed concrete, doesn't fare particularly well. What we saw was bamboo construction and other types of timber frame-based construction performed remarkably well, but we were told, well, bamboo's for poor people. You don't build with that. Well, frankly, after an earthquake, I'd rather be poor and alive than under the rubble of a three-story concrete building. And so we realized that what we want to do is try to formalize this and raise bamboo to the same level of understanding and acceptance of, let's say, timber. And this is very important in countries like India, where timber construction is actually banned in India due to deforestation issues. And so bamboo is a very viable alternative in that case.
And are there places outside of these problem areas in the world where bamboo could work? Are there places in the United States, for example, where someone might want to build a bamboo house?
We have an established bamboo construction industry in Hawaii, and I'm actually working right now with some colleagues in Puerto Rico. There's certainly an established bamboo horticulture in Puerto Rico, and we're looking at ways to develop sort of homegrown industries around bamboo. In the continental U.S., most of the Southeast would be appropriate for bamboo. And keep in mind, I'm talking about bamboo suitable for construction, which might be 3 or 4 inch diameter culms. Bamboo can be used for lots of other things, materials as a replacement for cotton, paper and whatnot, in which case there you can use much, much smaller species. And those can be grown, I mean, here in Pittsburgh. That's not our focus, but it's one of those materials you can use, or one of those plants that you can use for almost anything.
Is there a danger that you'll use it for so many of these needs that there won't be enough food for the pandas?
I don't know about the pandas, but that's always the issue, is if something comes along, we talk about switchgrass or anything else, and you start replacing food crops, that's probably an issue. The nice thing about bamboo, it grows very densely. You don't use this to get the same amount of material, you use much less land area as a rule. There's essentially no fertilization involved. And if anybody who has bamboo in their garden knows, it's essentially a weed. It just keeps growing. It is a grass. It grows underground. It's invasive in a lot of areas. And so that's actually a bigger concern potentially.
Our guest has been University of Pittsburgh Associate Professor of Structural Engineering and Mechanics, Kent Harries. Professor Harries is also one of the co-organizers of a symposium that happened earlier this month on the feasibility of bamboo as a building material. Kent Harries, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.